Radio Daily for Weekend Eve, and also for us, Vacation Eve. Ooh, two crazy weeks of doing God knows what. All the backlog of stuff we don't get done while we're doing the show. Hi, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that's just having trouble focusing. Things are getting him down. It's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Wow, that's really, really boring.
And that's the nicest thing he had to say about it. Me, I'm just going around celebrating things because, you know, it's so close to vacation. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Champagne, clink, clink.
What happened on this fine, fine day, sir?
Well, in 1872, the U.S. Patent Office awards the first patent for wireless telegraphy to Nalin Loomis.
Okay, I thought the first one. I guess they did several of them. 1903, the Ford Motor Company ships its first car.
In 1960, Sirimavo Bandaranaike is elected the Prime Minister of Ceylon, becoming the world's first elected female head of state and also running the humans from their planets.
Also in 1960, two Polaris missiles are successfully launched for the first time from a submerged submarine, the USS George Washington, off the coast of Cape Canaveral, Florida.
The USSR same day recovers two dogs, the first living organisms to successfully return from space alive.
1966, Gemini 10 becomes the first spacecraft in history to make multiple rendezvous with other spacecrafts while in orbit, the Agena 10 and the Agena 8.
It's true, the Gemini 10 was the whore of spacecrafts. It was docking with everything that came along. In 1969, Apollo 11 lands on the moon at 9:18 GMT on the Sea of Tranquility and transmits the message...
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
6.5 hours later, astronaut Neil Armstrong becomes the first man to walk on the moon, followed by Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Before returning to the command module, the astronauts leave behind a plaque inscribed with the words, "Here men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind." And the main question is, who shot the first pictures of the man stepping on the moon for the first time?
1976, the NASA Viking 1 lander launched on April 20th of 75 makes its successful first ever landing on Mars at the Kreisplantia and begins transmitting pictures.
Yeah, but what did it bring to Mars, huh? We at least brought something nice to the moon. It's probably why it won't let us go back. 1977, the Central Intelligence Agency releases documents under the Freedom of Information Act, revealing that the agency had engaged in mind control experiments.
Everyone watch The Men Who Stare at Goats. 1984, yes. 20th Century Fox releases the comedy film Revenge of the Nerds with Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Timothy Busfield, Curtis Armstrong, Ted McGinley, Bernie Casey, and John Goodman.
Warner Brothers on the same day releases the fantasy film The Never-Ending Story, directed by Wolfgang Peterson and starring Noah Hathaway, Barrett Oliver, Tammy Stronach, Patricia Hayes, Sidney Bromley, Gerald McRaney. Really? I'd forgotten he was in there. And Moses Gunn.
Guess which one of those two films I like better. 1994, the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 fragment Q1 impacts the surface of the planet Jupiter, leaving visible impact scars, and a lawsuit was filed.
1995, John O'Neill, the CFO of Hasbro Incorporated, announces that they have scrapped their work on a virtual reality game. After 3 years and $59 million in R&D, the firm determined that the cost to the new consumer would be far more than the target price of $300.
And Haley Joel Osment said, "Come on, bro, let's go surfing." 1999, DreamWorks releases the horror film The Haunting, directed by Jean Dubon, starring Lily Taylor, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson, and Liam Neeson. For the love of God, either read The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson or watch the original. This movie sucks.
Did the ghosts take his kids or something? Why was Liam Neeson there? But on the same day, to commemorate the 13th anniversary of the Apollo 11 lunar landing and just one day shy of the 38th anniversary of the suborbital flight of Mercury 4, a team led by Kurt Newport and financed by the Discovery Channel lifts the Liberty Bell 7 space capsule off the floor of the Atlantic Ocean and onto the deck of a recovery ship.
Also, 99, U.S. President Bill Clinton signs legislation into law to protect companies against possible lawsuits related to Y2K computer breakdowns. People thought it was going to happen.
I think they were worried about the wall coming down. Oh, no, wait, that was Y2J. Universal Studios releases the sci-fi film Various on the same day, directed by John Bruno and starring Jamie Lee Curtis, William Baldwin, Daniel Sutherland, Joanna Pacula, Marshall Bell, Sherman Augustus, and Cliff Curtis. The film is based on a Dark Horse comic book of the same name by Chuck Pfarrer.
Which you might know better as Virus. 2001, Sega Corporation announces plans to transfer its SegaNet subscribers to a comparable Earthlink service, meaning meaning I dropped Sega.net because I left Earthlink to go to Sega.net and did not want to go back.
2005, after coming under heavy fire from many politicians, most notably from Hillary Clinton, the Entertainment Software Rating Board re-rates Grand Theft Auto San Andreas adults only 18+ due to the sexually explicit minigame mod Hot Coffee. The game was previously only rated M for mature.
Also that same day, in honor of the 36th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, Google makes public domain imagery from NASA of the moon available in the Google Maps interface, Google Moon, they called it. The tool displays the points of landing of all Apollo spacecraft to the moon and includes an Easter egg displaying a Swiss cheese design at the highest zoom level.
Proving NASA has Photoshop.
Birthdays?
Juno Temple, 28 years old, from year one, Dark Knight Rises, Sin City, Dame to Kill For.
Charlie Corsmo is 39, from Dick Tracy and Can't Hardly Wait.
Judy Greer, we salute you, 42 years old, Kitty in Arrested Development, Jurassic Park 3, Ant-Man, and Cheryl on Archer.
Omar Epps is 44, from Major League 2, Scream 2, ER, and House. Neither one of those had a 2 after it.
Josh Holloway, 48 years old, Sawyer on Lost, Intelligence Colony, Handsome Man, Gorgeous Voice.
Dean Winters is 53, from Hellraiser Hellseeker, John Wick, Turtles, Out of the Shadows.
Frank Whaley, 54 years old, Brad in Pulp Fiction, Career Opportunities, and an amazing movie called Swimming with Sharks. Watch it. It's got Kevin Spacey in it.
God, do I love that movie. Carlos Alazraki is 59, Rocco on Rocco's Modern Life, the Taco Bell Chihuahua, and Mr. Weed on Family Guy.
I believe he was also on Reno 911.
I believe, yes.
Donna
yes.
Dixon, 60 years old, from Bosom Buddies. Dr. Detroit. God, I love any reference to Dr. Detroit. Spies Like Us, also starring Mr. Daniel Aykroyd, and Wayne's World.
Never forget the first contest MTV did was to give away the limo from Dr. Detroit. Jeff Rawls, 66, Amos Diggory in Harry Potter, Sarah Jane Adventures, and was in Adventures in Time and Space.
Muse Watson, 69 years old, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Austin Powers 2, and Charles on Prison Break.
Diana Rigg is 79, Mrs. Peel in The Avengers, Bond's wife in Honor Majesty's Secret Service, Olenna Tyrell in Game of Thrones, and can still kick high as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I believe she was also in The Great Muppet Caper, if I'm not mistaken.
Good call.
We've also got Sally Ann Howes, 87 years old, a truly scrumptious in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Can you
with a name like that, the porn parody must be so just the same.
Well, you can tell Ian Fleming wrote that novel. No longer with us, born in the state in 1938, Natalie Wood from Rebel Without a Cause, West Side Story, Brainstorm.
1943, Wendy Richard, Miss Brahms in Are You Being Served, and Pauline in EastEnders.
And in 1958, Billy Mays here!
Although his infomercials may not be on anymore, but his inspiration is still felt throughout. So let's see what's on actual television right now. CBS, new Big Brother and a Zoo.
Over on ABC, it's a new boy band. Then it's Primetime Soaps versus ABC Teens on Battle of the Network Stars and Gong Show.
It's Primetime, we don't care. Chad's not on there. NBC has the new Hollywood Game Night, The Wall and The Night Shift.
On Fox, it's a new Beat Shazam and Love Connection.
CW has a new Penn & Teller Fool Us, A Search in Rome for an Ancient Book on Hootin and the Lady, which I believe is a Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
It certainly is. Freeform, oh my God, they flipped the script on us. It's Dirty Dancing. It's not Twilight. It's not Harry Potter.
Well,
but it's not.
I don't know what to do after that. Disney XD has a new The IGN Show.
CMT has got a new episode of Nashville.
Comedy Central has a new President Show.
FXX on The Simpsons, Bart the Murderer, Marge the Cop, and the one where they do scams. But Jim Varney's in that one.
FXM has Fellowship of the Ring.
IFC, I guess, serving community service, something, because they're showing Elektra, and nobody would unless they had to.
MTV has Amber Rose versus Charlemagne the God on Safe Word.
On Spike TV for Guys, it's a new episode of The Mist.
Chiller has John dies at the end. Go
You're
watch that.
Damn right. Sci-Fi Channel, it's a new Sci-Fi live at Comic-Con.
TNT has Man of Steel and Wrath of the Titans.
True TV with Impractical Jokers, followed by a new comedy knockout.
USA has Mad Max Fury Road and something else, but who cares? Just watch Fury Road.
The Queen of the South, it's a perfect double feature. We're watching the Chiller Network because a vicious pack of mutated dogs hunt a group of friends who have come to a tropical island for a week of fun and relaxation. Michelle Rodriguez, Eric Lively, and Taryn Manning star in The Breed.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Abby and Chad's feelings resurface.
and will keep doing so as long as you try to deny it. Maybe you have not been paying attention, but hashtag Chabby forever.
You got mail, baby!
Indeed we do. In case you don't know him, Richard Pini co-created the ElfQuest fantasy series with his wife, Wendy. It has been published since 1978, and the comic book ElfQuest, The Final Quest, is currently being published by Dark Horse. I have yet to hear it during the long box edition, unless I missed it, but I encourage you to check it out. Richard turned 67 today. Thanks, and have a great vacation from Donna. P.S. My deepest sympathy for the loss of Rob. Well, thank you so much for that. We've mentioned ElfQuest before, especially back when we used to do nothing but just a big old list of reading everything in the world, which was boring as hell. But, you know, once we trimmed them down, it sometimes shows up, sometimes it doesn't. And that's why you have to keep tuning in, because you never really know.
Yeah.
If you'd like to drop a note of people we've missed or things we should know about, by all means, help us. We're ignorant. Just drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, because we'd love to hear from you. And knowledge is power.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Welcome back to it. Weekend Eve, Vacation Eve. I've been saying what I'm going to do the whole time, and it does involve this intro.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Which will happen, and that's what we're going to be doing. What are we going to be playing there, sir?
We've got galaxy blasters. Use a paddle to blast ships. No word if this is an adaptation of the classic movie Mutant Blasters.
Ooh.
It's available on the Wii U.
That'd be fantastic. Business Tour, a free-to-play multiplayer tabletop game, but on your PC, so put it on the table.
Incredibly descriptive. Thank you, website. Splatoon 2. Some time has passed since the events in Splatoon as Marie asks for help in dealing with a missing Cali. A new city hub, new fashion trends, new music trends, land play, a cooperative Salmon Rush. Nope. Salmon Run. A Salmon Rushdie mode would be very interesting. New weapons, new maps, new characters, new abilities. Splatoon 2 stays fresh Nintendo Switch.
Splatoon's awesome. Super Hot. It's a puzzling first-person shooter where time progresses as the player moves. Don't move, no time passes. For the PS4.
That game looks amazing. And if you're more of the VR style, you can check out Super Hot VR, a completely new game designed from the ground up for virtual reality, also available on the PS4.
Chromatic. The goal of the game is to survive the various and obnoxious hazard by firing a laser beam from the chroma core, which has 10 selectable colors. All enemies and hazards have a random color, and the player needs to select the opposite color to kill them in the fastest possible manner in this intense space shooter for the PC.
If you are colorblind, go screw yourself. Fate Extella, the Umbral Star, is an action game developed by Marvelous, set in Type Moon's Fate franchise, available on the PC and Nintendo Switch.
Infinite Mini Golf, a customizable mini golf game that goes on forever. Nintendo Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
And Unbox, Newbie's Adventure, a platforming action game centered around self-delivering cardboard boxes. I'm sure it'll take full advantage of the graphics capabilities of the PS4.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view, Universal has decided, yeah, geeks rule the world, and they've got a whole bunch of TV shows coming your way, including three new adaptations of fantasy and sci-fi books. One of those is going to be Dan Harmon and Evan Katz working on Sirens of Titan, based on the Kurt Vonnegut novel, which is so cool because this guy has an immense amount of wealth he believes is from a divine power, but things go crazy and they go to Titan and weird stuff occurs. They also are going to be doing sci-fis for sci-fi. Maggie Silvatar's urban fantasy saga, The Raven Cycle, about a girl and a group of private schoolboys on a quest for a magical power, which could go very wrong very fast. Also, Roger Zelzany's classic novel, Lord of Light, written by Ashley Miller, who did Thor and X-Men First Class, a society of humans where a select few can be granted the likenesses and powers of deities. And that's not even counting their Dark Horse stuff and the Umbrella Academy thing. So see, geeks, we've been accepted. We were right all those years when we tried to tell people we had the good stuff. Now give it a chance and don't complain. That's why we can't have nice things.
ESPN aired EVO 2017 Street Fighter V Finals during Ryota Kazunoko Inui's match in which he played as the character Cammy. ESPN requested that Kazunoko change the character's costume from her default thong leotard to her formal wear DLC outfit. Kazunoko managed to play one finals match with Cammy in her default costume. Then an EVO staffer halted the match and pulled both players back into the character select screen. The costume change was a request from the EVO staffer, and an ESPN representative confirmed the request was made per broadcast standards. Cammy has been wearing a high-rise leotard since her first appearance in Street Fighter 2, although her original outfit appears to boast an additional inch of upper butt cheek coverage. Luckily for ESPN, which routinely airs beach volleyball matches, characters have at least one costume that features a few more square inches of butt coverage. As much as I enjoy the revealing nature of beach volleyball, now I want to see a formal wear match. No word yet on if they will require Blanca to put electrical tape on his nipples in future games.
After being hidden for centuries, the secrets within medieval manuscripts might soon come to light. By fusing two imaging technologies, visible hyperspectral imaging and X-ray fluorescence, an interdisciplinary team of Northwestern University researchers have discovered a new, non-destructive technology that gives access to medieval text hidden inside of ancient book bindings. The process is slow. So far, they've only revealed and translated, "There once was a nobleman who traveled with a brave knight from a far-off land in search of a lost young woman kidnapped by the evil sorcerer of a land known as Nantucket."
In news that's particularly sad to me because this television show brings me so much happy, At Midnight's final week will kick off July 31st, culminating with the series finale on Friday, August 4th, when the show will hit the 600-episode milestone. The decision to end At Midnight was made mutually by Comedy Central, host executive producer Chris Hardwick, and production company Funny or Die. We took a big macro look and we started having conversations with Chris, Comedy Central president and current jerk Ken Alterman said in an interview with Deadline. "I will repeal that title if he keeps Jim Jeffries' show on and brings back Problematic. We feel incredibly proud of the show. We think it's had an amazing run. How many shows can say they've hit 600 episodes? It was a little bit of the audience telling us over time, and we mutually thought, you know what, maybe we should walk away holding our heads high and proud, full of appreciation and gratitude." What Alterman is likely referring to is the fact that after a ratings bump following At Midnight's move from 12 a.m. to 11:30 last August, the show's numbers have plateaued, while its lead-in, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, has been trending upward. Additionally, At Midnight has been the youngest, most male-skewing late-night show for most of its run, currently ranked second and lowest median age, only behind Viceland newcomer Desus and Mero. While at midnight in its current incarnation is over, I hear that there has been talk about taking another look at the concept in the fall and exploring possibilities for reformatting it. Don't worry about Chris, though. He's still out there taking all of the jobs that Billy Flynn and I should have. I wish him well.
I know. The quest to make robots more human has finally come to fruition. Robots are able to understand the human experience so much, one has learned that its existence itself was simply pointless, as a Nightscope K5 robot has killed itself. In Washington, D.C., a Nightscope K5 ran itself into a water fountain, not the one you drink from, but the big one that you throw pennies into, inside of an office complex. Now, these models are known for being a little clumsy. Earlier this year, a drunk man was arrested for knocking a K5 over, and the robot wasn't always at the victim end of the spectrum after tripping up a toddler and coldly driving away last summer. The K5 was created to be used as a security patrol robot, standing at least 5 foot tall, weighing 300 pounds, not at all like a Dalek. Its rocket-like shape and armless design, okay, maybe a little, made it difficult for it to get back up after toppling over. But in this case, it went down 4 steps straight into a fountain, and it seems truly like an act of free will. I mean, I wouldn't want your job either, K5. I, too, get tired of all those goddamn TPS reports. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Distribution, non-commercial, non-derivative, non-commercial license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. That's a good time and a fun place to do it. And hey, go get the app and then swing by YouTube. Check out that new video. Yeah. It's about something, I could tell you, but this way you'll go see because it'll gnaw at your brain for the rest of your days. And while you're there, subscribe. And if you were the 100th subscriber, please email us. Otherwise, I'm taking matters into my own hands and giving my damn self a prize. Drop a note, won't you please? We still got time. Vacation coming. We got one more day to go, and we'll get there, and we'll see you when it arrives. Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, and we'll see you the next time we do.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, suckers. Well, folks, I am out of here.
Hi there, Marvin Kid. How you doing?
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
Oh, yeah, we're having a great time. You know, wine, food, a little personal abuse, and the universe going foom. Where can we find you, Marvin?
You don't have to pretend to be interested in me, you know. I know perfectly well I'm only a menial robot.
Yeah, yeah, but where are you?
Reverse primary thrust, Marvin. That's what they say to me. Open airlock number 3, Marvin. Marvin, can you pick up that piece of paper? Here I am, brain the size of a planet. They asked me to pick up a piece of paper.
Yeah, Marvin.
But I'm quite used to being humiliated. I can even go and stick my head in a bucket of water if you like. I mean, if that's what you really want. Would you like me to stick my head in a bucket of water?
Marvin, yeah, Marvin, will you please tell us where you are?
I'm in the car park.
What are you doing in the car park?
Parking cars. What else does one do in a car park?
Well, yeah, okay. Stay there. I'll be down in a minute.
That makes two of us.